Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady is a journalist, she's a blogger, and she's an advocate for folks out there with disabilities. She is all the way over in the UK, so we're connecting via Zoom. It's Emma Purcell. How are you doing today, Emma?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for letting me join you today.
Absolutely, it's absolutely my pleasure. Now, we should, off the bat, you have cerebral palsy. Some people call it cerebral palsy, some people call it cerebral palsy. For those folks who might not know what that is, could you just give us a little bit of an overview of what that means?
Yeah, so it's basically known as like a brain injury. So most people get it from birth, either because they were born prematurely or they lose oxygen to the brain. For me, it was just a lack of oxygen to the brain when I was born. So for me, I've got quadriplegic CP, which means all four limbs are affected. So I'm in a full-time electric wheelchair. So I need hoisting and all like levels of personal care. I can use my left hand, but I can't use my right hand at all. But I'm in the fortunate category that like some people can have learning disabilities, like it can damage, you know, their speech and their memory and they're able to do things. But luckily I've just got kind of got the physical side of it. So I can still read and write and talk and do everything like as normal otherwise.
Absolutely. Now, like I said in the intro, you are a journalist. Why the interest in journalism?
Well, I've always been into writing. I've always been a good writer since like the early years of school. Like my teacher used to always praise my writing and things like that. And it's kind of always been a passion since I was young, really. And then I studied journalism at university, but even before then I'd already been sort of doing voluntary writing for publications and then I launched my blog just after university as well. But I just particularly like writing. My two sort of passions, obviously disability, talking about disability, my own experiences, but also sharing other people's stories. But then also I have a love for music and I go to a lot of gigs and festivals. So I like doing reviews on shows and interviewing musicians and things like that as well.
Cool. Very cool indeed. Now, you said you went to university. Now, obviously, you're in the UK, so I'm not too sure how that system works. But over here in Australia, we had a deaf lady on my podcast a couple of months back. People can listen to Ashley Forsyth's interview if they go back through the records. And she was telling us that when she went to university, she wanted to become a school teacher. And 3 weeks before graduation, they called her in and they said, yeah, we're not going to graduate you because you're deaf, which is obviously completely wrong. So I'm just curious if you had any issues with the education system over in the UK, maybe not exactly to the extent that Ashley did, but did you have any troubles with the education system in the UK?
Not so much like applying and graduating, but I think it was just the quality of support that I got, I felt wasn't as good. Like trying to find the course was quite difficult for me because I was trying to find, because I always said, I always wanted to do journalism. I already said that. But obviously, I had to be particular what I could do because I'm registered blind as well. So for me, I was like, well, for me, I'd rather do writing, like online writing or radio, because that would be the two easiest ones for me to sort of do. So I chose a course that catered that meant we could choose which modules we wanted. But then halfway through my course, our course leader changed and he made us do a TV module. And I was a bit like, well, I don't really want to do a TV module because I can't read the audio cue. I struggle to edit videos. I can sort of edit videos, but not brilliantly. And that was quite frustrating, I thought. And just the quality of the uni lifestyle for me wasn't very good. No, it wasn't so much anyone's fault, but I didn't live on campus with the other students. I had to live somewhere else because of my care needs. And the way my care worked was that the carer needed me to be in bed by, say, like 10 o'clock at night. All the social things were going on late at night. So I didn't have much of a social life at uni either, so I didn't really make any friends. It was just, I went to lectures, I came home, and that was my life for like 3 years, unfortunately.
Well, how can that be improved, Emma? What can we do to make that better? Because I'm sure there's I can think of a few things just off the top of my head, but what are some things that you can say, you know, going back, if we could do A, B, and C, it would have made my life so much easier?
Well, having more accessible accommodation on the campus, because they had a couple of accessible rooms, and they're obviously taken by two disabled students already. And it was just a case of, you know, kind of first come, first serve, unfortunately. And where I was living, it was like a one-bedroom bungalow, so I had the carers coming in and out, but they couldn't stay over with me or anything. I mean, it kind of just depends on which university you're at. I mean, I could have gone to any uni in the country. I'm sure there's other universities that do better. And I know friends that have had a better experience at university that are disabled. I think I just had an unfortunate experience with mine, really. Well, so I thought it'd work out better than I thought, and it just didn't really work out as I hoped, really.
Well, I mean, going forward, what would be your advice to maybe universities to, like you say, maybe make more accessible accommodation options so folks like yourself can be included in the social aspects of university, which is as equally as important as the studying aspects of university? And
yeah.
And what about the actual classroom itself? Is there anything that could be done in the classroom that could have assisted you with your courses?
I think the teachers needed to learn a bit more about disability. I mean, I had one lecturer. He was an older guy. I think he was kind of nearing retirement, but he wasn't really understanding of technology. He was kind of very old school, looking at like, copies of newspapers in some of our classes. But I kept saying, you know, I need an electric format because I need to read it off the computer because I can't read the normal version. And he wouldn't do that in advance. And sometimes he'd just give it to my help, like LSA, and make her go and try and make a copy during the lecture. But by the time she got it all copied and put on the computer, it was kind of the end of the lecture.
Yes.
And things like that. It's just, I don't, you know, they advertise it, oh, yeah, we're disabled friendly, we're good, we've got a disabled officer that can help you. But, you know, the actual lecturers might not know what they're doing. They need a bit more training and understanding of disabled students, I think.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, you work for Disability Horizons magazine and Access Able. Why are publications like that important?
Because we kind of, for Disability Horizons, we basically give disabled people a voice. So all our content is either written by our team, or all disabled, or have a health condition, or related to someone with a disability. But then we also have a community of writers, so bloggers can come along and tell their own stories and share their experiences as well. But as we have all sorts of pieces, from news to education, employment, technology, sport, we have all aspects of things on the website for people to explore and get ideas and advice from how to live with a disability, basically.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, how I came to know you, Emma, is, of course, you covered my story for Disability Horizons magazine. So besides my story, of course, we'll cancel that one out. What has been your favourite stories to cover?
Well, I've done a lot of interviews. I think I've done probably maybe over 50 interviews now. And I've done quite a few big names. Well, I don't know how big they are for you guys in Australia, but in the UK, I interviewed Addie Lipitan, who used to be a wheelchair basketball player for GB and is also now a TV presenter. He does a lot of TV travel shows now. So he was quite a big name that we interviewed. And also Alex Brooker, who's a TV presenter and journalist, who's one of the hosts of the comedy show The Last Leg, that's hosted by Adam Hills.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
I'm sure you guys would know.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And just so many others. I've done a lot of actors and actresses that are on TV. I'm kind of their news editor now, so I do a lot of news content. So just, we try and do is mostly positive stuff, though. So it'd be things like a disabled contestant is going to be on the next series of Strictly, or we talk about, some celebrity that's done a documentary recently and things like that as well. But then I do some the hard journalism is investigated journalism. So we did a piece on hate crime recently and the impact of hate crime on disabled people and stuff.
Cool.
And all sorts.
Fantastic. Well, I do encourage folks to log on to Disability Horizons magazine and Access Able and give it a good read, because it is a very, very good, besides the fact, obviously, I've been in it, it's a very, very good publication. Now, what have you learnt from the stories that you've covered? Is there anything that stands out to you where you're going, holy, well, that's amazing, anything that's really grabbed your attention that was unexpected, perhaps?
Good question. I guess it's just some of the things that you wouldn't expect a disabled person to be able to do, they actually did do. I've seen some of my colleagues write articles about things. It's been someone who had a stroke and then went back to becoming a pilot and still flying a plane, or our co-founder Martin Sibley, he's done a lot of traveling. He's done things like flying an aeroplane, go scuba diving, flying in a hot air balloon, and his level of impairment's quite severe. And he still managed to do all those things. It's quite inspirational to prove that we can still do a lot you know, despite our impairments.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you also have a blog, Emma. Can you tell us about the what's it called, firstly, and tell us about it? What is it all about?
Yeah, so it's Rock for Disabilities. I started it about 4 years ago, and it's a combination of sort of life, disability, and music. So I kind of do life and disability content on a Friday and music content on Monday. So I interview quite a lot of sort of new artists. I'm sort of in contact with a PR company, and they send me over many artists like from all over the world, and I do interviews with them. But then also hopefully when I do go back to gigs again, because obviously the last 18 months I've not been to gigs, but when I do go to gigs, I sort of review the gigs that I go to as well. And then, yeah, with life and disability, it can be a mixture of sort of all sorts of things, just my own experience of something that's happened in my day-to-day life, or if it's a particular event, I might talk about that. If it's something to do with blind, I might talk about, you know, my life with a blind person, or if it's something to do with cerebral palsy, I'll talk about cerebral palsy or things. The other thing as well, like, I'm doing a lot of campaigning to get more audio description on TV and films. So I do a lot of content talking about audio description, the importance of it, and sharing a petition I'm doing for it as well.
And do you enjoy the blog? Is that something that is a real passion project for you?
Yeah, it's like, I always feel like it's a little bit like a sort of journal or a diary, like you're sort of getting things off your chest as well. It's kind of quite therapeutic as well, I think, doing a blog.
Cool.
But yeah, it's been good, yeah.
Well, and where can people find it? So what would they need to go to? So it was Rock Disability, was it not?
Rock for Disability.
Rock for Disability.
So
make sure you check this lady's blog out, folks. And like I said, and also the magazine's Disability Horizons and Access Able. Now,
Can I just say Access Able is a separate thing?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Access Able, that's a separate thing we do. It's a company that basically we provide access guides across the UK. So if you're trying to go out and plan the trip, you can go onto an app and you search like the location you're going to, you know, whether it's a pub in London or a leisure centre or a school, and they will tell you all the details of what's available, whether there's ramps, whether there's lifts, whether there's audio services, hearing services, quiet places, all those sort of thing. And my job there is basically I'm one of their sort of ambassadors, and I kind of promote their services and do blog content and video content for them to promote their services.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, hopefully for those folks who live in the UK and also outside of the UK, make sure you check out all of those publications and websites that Emma is involved in. And where else can people find you, Emma? Is there any social media that they can have a look at your work?
Yeah, so my Facebook page is also, I think it's at RF Disability, and my Twitter is at P94Emma.
Cool. Very cool. So, yes, make sure you give this lady a like and a follow as well. Thank you so much for joining me today, Emma. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And that has been this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment. Rate and review 5 stars is always helpful. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we shall talk to you then.